Hello, I'm Guillermina Gonzalez, Executive Director of the Delaware Arts Alliance, your host for today. And with me, I have the tremendous pleasure to have Peter Harrigan, Board President of Coastal Concerts. Thank you, Peter, for driving all the way and coming here.
Thank you, Guillermina. It's a pleasure to be here.
And a pleasure to see you. And always good things come from Coastal Concerts. And we thought important to bring people up to speed in the many things that you are doing. Love your business perspective associated to a not-for-profit. So let's go ahead and refresh some memories by saying what Coastal Concerts is all about. And maybe next, what you intend to do with the organization.
Sure. We've been an organization, a nonprofit in Sussex County for 16 years. And our mission, very simply, is to promote classical music appreciation. We go about making classical music accessible, understandable, and enjoyable to people in several different ways. First, we present five concerts per season. Our seasons run from October through March. Mm-hmm. We also take some of our visiting artists into schools to present educational programs for school children. We also present some free public concerts and lectures to enable audience members to better understand and appreciate the type of music we present. We also award three scholarships annually to high school students looking to continue their musical studies. We offer free admission to children under 18 years of age to all of our concerts and a discounted admission for students 19 and older. And we collect used but playable musical instruments and repurpose those, donating them to local schools in Sussex County. So it's a very, very ambitious program. Which is actually run by a volunteer organization. They're all volunteers with the exception of a part-time paid executive director.
And she's doing a terrific job. And hopefully one of these days we can bring Edna Ella to share what her perspective, because that organization is extremely efficient considering what you just said.
Yes, Edna is a terrific resource for Coastal Concerts. She really brings all of the volunteers together, keeps us on track, keeps us organized. And frankly, our success in large measure is due to Edna's terrific work.
Indeed. But also a very cohesive board of directors that you are actually leading at this point. And when I began saying that it's refreshing to see a business perspective, it is true, because you were working for corporate America. You want to share part of your story, maybe just the highlights and how you brought and how life brought you to Coastal Concerts, maybe.
Sure. Actually, our board is very diverse. We're currently all retirees from a variety of different professions. We have people who were lawyers, who worked for government, who worked in finance. I personally worked for a large corporation doing communications or public relations, if you will. So we've really got a diverse board that applies our individual expertise to help Coastal Concerts be successful. My wife and I relocated here a few years ago after I retired. We came from Central Maryland. We attended one concert and I said, wow. I find it hard to believe that this quality of music is available in southern Delaware. When we moved, we thought we'd have to go back to Washington or Baltimore.
Yeah, maybe weekends going there. And
To hear quality classical music, but that's not the case. And that's what Coastal Concerts does. I was also very interested in the outreach programs specifically directed to young people and adults who might not be familiar with classical music, to help people appreciate the joy and beauty and messages actually within quality classical music. So I chose to volunteer, and I've had a wonderful time. It's extremely rewarding work, and we're always looking for volunteers to join us. You don't need to know much, if anything, about classical music. You may be passionate about education. You may enjoy meeting people. You may enjoy working with the media, helping with our marketing. You might like to research and write grant proposals. All important, and we can use all the help we can get.
So it's talents are a good resource, particularly when it comes to a volunteer board of directors. But there's also the need of a vision. And that's something that got my attention when we got together not long ago. And the way you go by things, development efforts and things of that nature. Do you want to talk about the vision that the board has and you're leading?
Sure. My personal belief, and this just comes from the years that I spent in a business environment, my belief is that an organization that becomes stagnant cannot be successful over time. So working with the board, and we do have annual board retreats. We spend a day together at a hotel. Each year we tackle a different strategic issue. So this past year we spent a day looking at our outreach programs, talking about what we can do to further our mission of promoting classical music appreciation. So working with the board and some key volunteers, we also brought in some of our past scholarship recipients who are currently students to get their perspective. And as a result of that discussion, we decided to pursue an initiative that we call RAVE, which is an acronym, stands for Rising Artist and Venue Expansion. This is a brand new outreach program. I'm pleased to announce that we've just secured a major grant from the Longwood Foundation to launch the RAVE program. In the coming year. And essentially what this will be is a series of free public performances in underserved communities featuring up-and-coming musical talent. They may be students still in school. They may be people studying at institutes such as Curtis or Peabody. They may be other local musicians who've come to our attention. Well, what we're trying to do are two things, better reach underserved communities and also showcase rising young talent, giving them an opportunity to actually perform in public and be paid for it.
There you go. And the concept is lovely. So you saw the need of continuing instilling this kind of loving for classical music to youngsters. And that sounds like it's one of the major missions of the organization. Is that correct?
It is, Guillermina. And actually, we can't make people love classical music, but we can expose them to classical
music. Good point.
And my personal belief is that if we expose people to classical music, many of them will choose to love it because it is, for many people, a different kind of music. One of the most rewarding experiences that I have as a Coastal Concerts volunteer is when you take professional musicians into schools to do outreach programs. And keep in mind, in Sussex County, the public schools don't have string programs. So when we bring in, for example, a string quartet, for many of the young people, this is the first time they've ever heard a violin or a viola or a cello. And they're fascinated by the instruments. They love the sound. The musicians love to talk about their instruments. And we get fan mail from the students after these programs. And it's just so rewarding to read them. They say things like, yeah, I've never heard this kind of music before, but if I can, I'll certainly hear it again.
And that's an encouragement. You're just hearing exactly what you're trying to instill, the change you're trying to or looking for. Isn't that like rewarding to you on the board?
Well, it is rewarding. And I think it's also important because, and Coastal Concerts is certainly not alone in this, but virtually every organization that presents classical music faces the challenge of growing a new audience. If you look at the research that's been done by the National Endowment for the Arts, for example, we find that the audience for classical music nationwide is aging. So if we don't do something to cultivate a new audience for classical music, eventually it'll be more difficult for presenting organizations to survive and for the musicians themselves to have an audience to perform for.
You touched a very important point, Peter, and that is the attendance of not only concerts like this, but also some other disciplines. When it comes to 18 to 34 years of age, clearly the attendance is declining. But that also speaks to the fact that people are accessing not only information, but also music and museum experiences and the likes differently from the past. Do you see a change for Coastal Concerts in addressing this particular need for people to access things differently?
Yes, and in fact, we're trying to address that to some degree, Gary. We have a partnership currently with Delmarva Public Radio, which is the public broadcasting unit that's based at Salisbury University. They run a classical music station, WSCL, out of Salisbury. They've been recording some of our concerts and rebroadcasting them at a later date. So this is a good way to reach a wider audience and make this quality music accessible to people free of charge.
There you go. Now, let me re-engage with the audience because I'd like to continue talking about this particular issue, but I want to let them know that you are listening to News Radio 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOB for the Delaware State of the Arts Radio Show. Our guest today is Peter Harrigan, Board President of Coastal Concerts. And again, thank you, Peter, for driving all the way from Sussex County in a not very nice day. But nice to see you and your lovely face sharing your passion for classical music.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
And before going back to the youngster exposure to classical music, tell me about you. How, in your particular case, Peter, you were attracted to classical music? Did that begin somewhere in your early years? You tell me how, in your case, the love came.
Sure. My mother actually was a great lover of all types of music, mm-hmm. and I grew up listening to music at home. Uh-huh. I was fortunate when I was in elementary school, we actually had music classes mm-hmm. Every week, and our teacher exposed us to, again, all different genres of music, mm-hmm. and I eventually developed a real interest and mm-hmm. like for classical music. Mm-hmm. I personally enjoy all kinds of music today, mm-hmm. but I do like classical music. Growing up in New York, I used to listen to the New York Philharmonic concerts on WQXR.
Well, there you go.
Watched all of the young people's concerts on mm-hmm. television with Leonard mm-hmm. Bernstein. So it's just a passion that's uh-huh. grown up over life. And it's wonderful now to have the opportunity to volunteer to
help
expand that music to other people.
What is your super favorite? If you have to pick and choose, you have half an hour for listen to music. What is your choice?
I actually love symphonic music, mm-hmm. and I don't think I have a single favorite mm-hmm. symphony. One of the rewarding things, though, about Coastal Concerts, we present chamber music, mm-hmm. Anything from soloists to small ensembles, mm-hmm. which is a type of classical music that I really hadn't listened to mm-hmm. very much. Mm-hmm. But I've developed, actually, a great appreciation mm-hmm. for the diversity of chamber music mm-hmm. as I've been participating as a Coastal Concerts volunteer. One important thing, too, that I'd like to stress is when people hear classical music, they think old. They think dead composers. And in fact, classical music can be very contemporary.
Okay, tell us about...
Some of our recent performers have performed works by composers who are not only still living, but they're actually young right. and still composing. So we do present mm-hmm. some works from the masters mm-hmm. who've gone on to the afterlife, but we also present work by current contemporary composers who are quite clever and creative, and it really surprises our audience to hear some of these modern pieces, which are not, in some cases, very dissimilar from the music of the great masters.
There you go. Something that comes to mind, Peter, from this new upcoming classical music, things that got your attention recently?
For example, just recently we had the Prism Saxophone Quartet mm-hmm. In to perform four saxophones, mm-hmm. Something we've never presented before. And what was interesting, aside from the new kind of music it mm-hmm. brought to our audiences, mm-hmm. it also actually brought in a slightly different kind of audience for Coastal Concerts. Mm-hmm. We actually had a large number of people who had not been to Coastal Concerts before mm-hmm. came specifically to hear the saxophone quartet. And we do pay a lot of attention to trying to incorporate diversity into our programming each mm-hmm. season, recognizing that different kinds of music appeal to mm-hmm. different kinds of audiences, and we want to present the most diverse offerings that we can.
Mm-hmm. Now, when it comes as a business person, you realize the need of communicating what you got. It's not only having a good product that you already have, but expanding the notion that things are changing and there's something going on. So do you have a communications plan / marketing activity that clearly is helping the case? Is that the case?
We do. And actually, the gentleman who is the vice president of our board, mm-hmm. Dan Crampton, is also the chair of our marketing committee. And mm-hmm. Dan does a tremendous job working with other volunteers of spreading the word about Coastal Concerts through local media. We are on the radio frequently. Dan's done some television work for us. So we try to get the word out as widely as we can.
So you've seen changes because you mentioned at some point that you've seen the composition of the audience changing. Is it migrating towards the youngsters? Do you have more of a combination? How would you describe your current audience?
I think it really is a function of the program that we present.
We've
actually seen from experience that some of our top concerts in terms of attendance have been some of our most diverse programs, not only in terms of the artists themselves, but in terms of the music they perform. For example, and I'm just working from memory here, but
that's fine.
Our top five programs, let's say, have been soloists such as Stephen Huff, but also groups like the Spanish Brass or the Brazil Guitar Duo, both groups we've had in recent seasons. And we've seen them attract audiences that are very different for Coastal Concerts. It's not the older Caucasian audience that typically attends classical music performances. It's a younger, much more diverse audience. And as I said, we try to keep that in mind as we plan our programs for each season, recognizing that we do have an obligation to present diverse music. And frankly, it's self-serving to help us generate audiences for the future.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
Now, in your connections with the audiences, because you yourself attend the events, when you talk to people, particularly youngsters, what do you get? I mean, what expectations have they expressed to you that you are sharing maybe with the board and maybe with Aetna so you change things a little bit?
Young people who choose to come to our performances love the experience, and they would like to hear more. And in fact, one of the initiatives that we're looking to staff up with volunteers is to expand our social media presence. We recognize social media is an important way to reach younger audiences. And frankly, we see a lot of potential to piggyback a social media presence with some of the educational outreach programs that we're already doing in schools. But more broadly, we see it as a way to reach a younger audience on a sustained basis. So we're currently looking for some volunteers with expertise in social media to help us expand beyond Facebook and beyond the web pages that we currently have.
There you go. And there's programs that you probably want to tap into. For instance, the University of Delaware, and I need to share that information, is offering in occasions help on that regard, social media, website, and the likes, that it's important to take into consideration to expand what you already have. And I, now that you're bringing memories to me, I have to make probably a connection in there. But thinking about the future, Peter, and thinking about where you want this organization to go, how do you see and what do you see happening?
Well, several things. We would like to continue to grow our audience. And in fact, we've been very fortunate that our audience has either remained stable or grown slightly in recent years. So that's a trend that contrasts to many presenting organizations that have seen audiences decline. We're also doing very well, I'm pleased to say, with donations on which we depend, since our ticket fees cover really only about a third of our expenses. So our strategic focus is to continue to grow audiences, to expand our donor base. And we believe the way to do that is to continue the diversity in our programming and to expand our outreach activities through initiatives such as RAVE.
There you go. So working on arts and education is an important component of your strategic decisions, as I can see.
It is. And we actually have a very exciting program coming up in mid-January.
You were reading my mind. That was going to be the next question.
On January 17th, we have the Marian Anderson String Quartet performing at one of our matinee concerts, 2 p.m. That day. For those not familiar, the Marian Anderson String Quartet is the first African-American ensemble to win a major music competition.
There you go.
So we're delighted to have them right ahead of the annual Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day observance.
Very pertinent.
And we're taking them the Friday before the 16th to First State Community Action in Georgetown to do a free outreach concert that afternoon. So we're hoping to attract a large audience to that. And again, perhaps some folks who have not heard that type of music before and would enjoy the experience. And the quartet will be actually presenting some very diverse music. They're doing some traditional classical music as well as some contemporary works of living composers, both African-American and Caucasian. And it promises to be a very exciting program.
It sounds like it. And on top of that, I love the collaboration piece that you are mentioning, especially First State Community Action Agency. They're bringing to different audiences, perhaps those that you just described that haven't been exposed in the past, to classical music. What a better combination.
And that's one of our goals through the RAVE initiative that I described, is to really bring music to people who have not had the opportunity, whether it's for economic reasons or other reasons, to hear this type of music. So we want to make it, again, our mission is to make this music accessible and enjoyable and understandable to as many people
as we can. To that extent, you need to share the website and information so people interested to get in contact with Coastal Concerts can do so.
Sure. Our website is www.coastalconcerts.org. And we have a toll-free phone number, which is 888-212-6458. And we make that available for questions about our performances. You can also buy tickets online and read about all of the upcoming programs there as well.
Give the website again for those who didn't have the chance to write that down.
Sure, it's www.coastalconcerts.org. And the phone number is 888-212-6458.
And in the few seconds that we have left, let me just thank you again for your time today, Peter. Important to have not only Coastal Concerts being exposed to the public, but also the perspective of the board president, that it's always very important.
Well, thank you, Guillermina. And we're also grateful to the Delaware Division of the Arts for the support that they provide to Coastal Concerts. Our programs wouldn't be possible without it.
There you go. Thank you.
Thank you.